You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. This week, our show is about consumption. Not just the feeling that you maybe overate this weekend, but also the gifts we buy and the frenzied effects they can have on us, the music we listen to, even how we see and consume the news and how that, in turn, shapes our conversations. We like to stay in conversation with you, so come share your stories and feedback with us at marketplaceweekend.org, on Facebook, or on Twitter. We're at @MarketplaceWKND. And we're going to start with that idea of conversation. If you've consumed media this week, listened, read, or watched the news, no doubt you followed the events in Ferguson, Missouri, where a grand jury declined to indict police officer Darren Wilson for the shooting death of teenager Michael Brown. The protests that followed that decision and rippled out across the country also tell a story about how we consume and communicate the news today. The Ferguson story was first told on social media, and those same social networks have been a powerful tool, both for sharing information and for not sharing it. We invited Zeynep Tufekci to talk about those contradictions. She's an assistant professor at the University of North Carolina and a faculty associate at the Harvard Berkman Center for Internet and Society. She points to social media's role in spreading the story.
So if you look at the Twitter streams of people discussing Ferguson, if you look at some of the analyses, millions of tweets were sent in August when the incident first happened and the first protest started, before network news picked it up. Now that we are consuming our news through social media more than before, what I'm noticing is there are these new filters that have come up, and some of them are controlled by companies like Facebook, which you might not think of as a media company, or Twitter, which you might not think of as a media company, but they both are very important gatekeepers. In the case of Twitter, it's what you choose. It's chronological. It makes it hard to use. In the case of Facebook, what I had noticed in August was that it was filtering out Ferguson news on my news feed. Instead, I was seeing a lot of Ice Bucket Challenge, which was popular then, which was fascinating because it was this new kind of editorial control. It was as if NPR or CNN editorially had decided not to cover something. Except in this case, it was Facebook's algorithm.
In a traditional media environment, a newspaper or a TV network would say, here are the stories that we think are important. Here's your meat, here's your vegetables, here's a little bit of dessert for you. Do you worry at all when you study different methods of media consumption that it could be all dessert or all vegetables and people can choose to silo themselves?
We have research showing now that people, yes, they're kind of siloing themselves, but worse, as they see what the people on their social networks think, they're starting not to necessarily share their political views because they think it'll lead to conflict. It's kind of like a Thanksgiving dinner where you just decide you're not going to bring up Ferguson with your uncle, you know?
Right. You don't want to fight with that end of the table.
Right. So even when you're encountering diversity of opinions, it doesn't necessarily create this push to engage each other. And that, I think, is the big question, because if you want to seek an argument, it's probably never been easier in history.
In the aftermath of Ferguson, there's a lot of discussion about, you know, a breakdown in understanding between different communities, different races here in the U.S. To what extent do you see that play out on the web or in social media feeds? And when there is a dialogue centering on one event or one hashtag, do we see a separation?
What I'm hearing a lot is not only people not having deep discussions about it, they're separating their networks in response to what other people are saying. So if they encounter a relative or a friend who disagrees with them, people are choosing to sever their networks. Now, that's a human response. That's understandable. You know, you're upset.
Just to not talk, just to sort of say, yes, I'm going to go over here.
Yes, there's been a lot of that going on, and a lot of people supporting each other in their existing views I don't really see a lot of conversations among disagreeing groups. On the other hand, and sort of to balance out what I said, if you look at the recent research on what young people think about race and the criminal justice system, there's been a great shift in the past year among younger people that the criminal justice system is unfair to black people. In a year where the Trayvon Martin shooting and the Michael Brown case got a lot of attention. So it's clear that a segment that might not have been exposed to a particular point of view is seeing this. Given the importance of the issue, it's unfortunate that we haven't fostered tools that allow this new connectivity to turn into a real conversation and real understanding rather than a way where you sort of see other points of view, but don't necessarily find yourself trying to hash out an understanding.
Zeynep Tufekci is an assistant professor at the School of Information at the University of North Carolina. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you for inviting me.